Welcome to episode 164 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. It's a quick introduction to a very quick PR assignment on this occasion. Now, as you might imagine, not all photo shoots take hours to complete, and the one which I'm about to describe is a perfect example of this. In fact, the following audio actually lasts longer than the shoot itself did. So, let's get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 164. It's coming up to 2:30 in the afternoon, and I've just got back from a really quick, nice, simple shoot for one of my long-standing clients. Now, I am just about to take my camera out of its case. This is a Pelly 1510 roller case, which a lot of you know I use, not exclusively, but stuff that's basically where I throw my kit in the back of the car and then take it out at the other end to an office, or sort of if it's like a, even if it was sort of a, an outdoors area where it's kind of a little bit hostile with sort of dirt and stuff, but essentially mostly flat, these cases are brilliant. The other occasion, of course, is when I use backpacks. So what I'm going to do is bring out here my Nikon D800. And I'm just going to talk about the shoot from today, just while I back up the pictures. And I'll talk about the process also that follows with supplying these pictures. So it's a Nikon D800, and I use the 24-70 f2.8 lens. The settings on this occasion, I will just move over to my desk. So the settings on this occasion were they were governed really by the location. It was basically a sort of a PR shot, essentially something that's going to go into local press and the company's website, and just general sort of good PR use, really. So bear with me a second, let me just get the images up here. I've just got to... You'll probably hear in a minute that actually, it really... there were very few pictures involved here. Let me see. So, just going through here. Bear with me, because I'm going to go through right through to the test shots as well. And I've got a deadline on this, both for the pictures being supplied and also for other activities this afternoon. So I need to be fairly quick, so I'm just going to copy these across. I'm going to create a new folder in my hard drive here. We'll call that. There we go. Okay, so. Oops. My computer actually is in great need of having a bit of a tidy up. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this. You get to the point where you've been rushing around so much, and you know the file size that you know that I shoot is such big files that it ends up starting to use up the cache, and in Photoshop it says there's not enough cache space and all this sort of thing, and or cache is full. So you need to, you know, get on it. Anyway. So bear with me whilst it runs a little bit slow. It's another job for the coming days. So I am looking at all the pictures that I took on this shoot, including the test shots for lighting, and I'll explain about that in a moment. In total, 29 pictures. So all said and done, from the moment I actually was on site, just had conversations, saw the location, had a chat, talked about the pictures that we needed to shoot. It took about 20 minutes. And so, you know, this was a really quick shot. A lot of PR stuff often is like this. And for this particular client, I used to do a lot of this stuff. And certainly on their kind of local level, they're a big corporate organization, but on the the area that is local to me, there's a lot of stuff within the community, a lot of stuff like this goes on. So what I'm going to do is talk about the lighting, first of all, I think. So it was quite a small room. I'm just going to see if I can get the pictures up in front of me here. Where are we? Here we go. Okay, so it was quite a quick shoot. And I took with me basically my Pelly case with my D800, my D3, and a range of different lenses, a couple of flash guns, batteries, various brackets and what have you. But I also took along a Manfrotto Nano stand, which a lot of you all know I've spoken about a lot. This is a 001B. They are really good, lightweight, portable lighting stands. Also had an attachment on the top of that which allows you to put the central rod of an umbrella through that. I don't use lighting umbrellas that often, but when I do, what I use is what I have here, which is a shoot-through umbrella, which basically I mount a single flash gun, usually on the top of that bracket, and then fire the flash gun through this diffuser. And I don't mind telling you, this one actually came from Viewfinder Photography, which, if you haven't checked out Viewfinder, they're really good. They're kind of really, really reasonably priced lighting modifiers, stands, gels, brackets, all this sort of thing. And I've got a couple of these, which are just opening up in front of me here. This, as I look at it, two of the arms opens just like a regular umbrella. Two of the arms have got buckles in them, and that's where the wind caught it one day and kind of turned it inside out. But yeah, they're pretty resilient. I'm just wondering if I can remember looking at this. This is about 2 meters across, something like that. A meter. Actually, no, it's probably about a meter and a half, something like that. So nice big diffuse lighting source that gives. I personally prefer to use soft boxes when I can, but on this occasion I took that and the stand and the one case, and that was it. It was such a quick, simple job. I really wasn't sure that I'd actually need that anyway, but in the event, what I did, I had my Nikon SB800, and what I'm going to do, just whilst the pictures are all uploaded, but just while I talk, I'm going to, good practice is to take the batteries out straight away, so you don't just leave them sat there in the in your electronic devices. What I'm going to do is put those in. I've got cases here for batteries, and these come from where did these ones come? 7dayshop.com. I've used them for years. I use their recyclable batteries. These are AA batteries, and the power on them are 2900s. They last a really long time. They're really good. Anyway, these cases, I my system, just as an aside, and I will get back to the shoot in a moment, my system is to have it takes 8 batteries, sort of 2 columns, as it were. And I have a little note in the lid here which says new equals face out, used equals face in. Now, of course, if you drop the box, and it's like a plastic box with a couple of catches on it and like a rubberized feet and a rubberized sort of bed for the batteries to sit in. If you drop it when it's open, of course you won't know which batteries are which, and there you go. But on the basis that you keep them shut and what have you, I have brand new batteries that are recently charged. So I charged everything up last night, so it's good to go for today. I have those facing out, and so that I know that if I quickly need to grab some batteries, so for example, if my audio recorder that I use when I'm out in the field, if that was running low on the batteries, I could grab some that are facing out and they're brand new. The ones that are facing inwards are used. So I've put those in there. I won't bother with the camera batteries because those stay in the camera, different types of batteries. So that's basically it. So the Nikon D800 with a 24-70. I'm just going to close this case up here. And a Nikon SB800, which in the event, I actually just bounced off the ceiling, because it was actually quite a small room, and it was such a, it was such a fast-paced shoot, relatively speaking. And if I'm honest, not a particularly interesting one. It's just a standard PR sort of pictures. It's not the sort of thing that is going to be worth sharing in a big sort of behind-the-scenes blog post, but it is something, you know, the most interesting I can make it, most useful for you, is to actually talk about it. So, I didn't have time to do any sort of behind-the-scenes shots. So my very first test shot here, it was a 24-70 f2.8. Let's see, where are we? 24-70. So I did a quick test shot at f8, and it was two people that I was going to be photographing. Very colourful background. It's actually at like a food bank, you know, one of these places that helps the homeless. And can you imagine, you've got all sort of like tins of beans and fruit and vegetables and coffee and sort of powdered milk and all this sort of stuff, like shelves and shelves of the stuff. Quite warm in there in terms of tone, sort of colour, yellow walls, but the ceiling was white. So what I did, I set the camera up as if the flash was on a remote sort of stand. I set it to manual, and I don't know, actually, looking at the metadata, the camera data, or the EXIF data, I should say, I don't think it actually says, no, it tells me the flash gun, but it doesn't tell me the setting of the flash gun. But I can tell you that that was at a quarter power, because my usual setup, usually with a flash off camera, my usual setup is to put the camera onto f8. This is all in manual. Set it to 250th of a second and a quarter power on the flash gun, ISO 200. Now, on this occasion, to allow a bit more sort of light in the background, what have you, I set it to a 60th of a second, and that came out pretty dark on that occasion. So, long story short, if I just switch through to another test shot, I took another one and then a third one. This was at 44mm was the focal length, but that was at f8 again, so it's nice and sharp for the two people that are appearing, pretty sort of level, pretty parallel to the camera, or to the sensor, as it were, the film plane, as we would have called it in the past, a hundredth of a second. But I do know that at that point I put the flash power up, and I think actually I was quite surprised at how much light was absorbed in by the ceiling, even though it wasn't particularly high, and I think it was on full power. So just as one final test shot here, yeah, so final settings, and they didn't change, f8, 100th of a second, and I kept that all the way through. 100th of a second was enough to freeze the action and not have any sort of ghosting where the shutter allows a bit of movement, but the flash freezes motion. That was enough just to, you know, just be a nice balance and also get a bit of light in the background, because everything was working, you know, so quick. My initial thoughts when I went in there, I saw these kind of two walls of tinned goods and jars and things. And I thought, right, fairly dark in here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fire one flash gun out of frame at the background, light that up, and another one maybe bounced off the ceiling, bouncing down onto the subject. But it became, you know, you always have to be sort of very flexible, working sort of on the spot, what have you. And I could tell that one of the people was the director of the company, and the other was another representative from that organisation, and the other person actually is someone that sort of runs the food bank. You become aware very quickly that, you know, these people don't have a lot of time. They just want to get the picture. All very friendly, very cheerful, very chatty and all the rest of it. But they're just there to get the pictures done and then get out of there and get on with their day, because they're very busy. So I decided not to mess around with all the lighting issues. So to get around that, to make sure that I had a really nice, bright picture, I got the subjects in, once I'd done those test shots, got the subjects to stand into position. And for this, again, just looking, all the settings are the same. And that was at 27 mil, and then I went in a little bit closer, about 32 mil, 36. I'm just going through looking at the EXIF data here. Yeah, around about 35 mil, something like that was the average. And so all the light that was coming off the ceiling, for those of you who don't know, bounce flash is a technique where, rather than firing a flash gun or a lighting source directly at your subject, which creates hot spots and big heavy shadows, you can bounce. You either shoot it through a diffuser like a softbox or a shoot through brolly, as I mentioned before, or you bounce it off a surface, which could be a ceiling, a wall. You could have a board painted white and just bounce it off that. Bear in mind that when that light ultimately falls on the subject, it does take a slight colour cast from the surface it's been bounced off. So on this occasion, it was a white ceiling. White is neutral, and that was all fine. Oh, also, you know that I have been using and still continue to use the Colour Checker Passport device, which allows me to, when I do my post-production, check the colours. Neutral grey gives me neutral white, black, and everything's okay. On this occasion, didn't want to mess around with that. I had enough reference points with white shelving, white collar on the gentleman's shirt, white writing on some vouchers that they were holding. There was enough there that I can take my reference there and I can remember it. And also, it's less than 30 pictures, you know. It's not a lot of pictures that are going to be processed. And I think I'm going to give them, out of each sequence of, I think we did four sort of sequences, they'll get about two shots from each, I think, one or two shots. So there's not lots to worry around trying to get the colour. Anyway, so the first shot was them pretty much straight on, near enough straight on. There was some slightly reflective packaging. I think there was some toilet rolls or something all packaged up, so had to be aware of highlights. That said, looking at them here, the what we call the blinkies, the highlight indicator on the back of the camera, on the screen, was flashing away on a couple of sort of panels there. But actually, when I look at the picture sort of close up, in this is Adobe Bridge that I'm just looking at the shots in, actually, as is always the case, I shoot it nice and bright. There is actually the detail within that area, and I can just tailor that because it's a raw file, so I don't need to worry. So that was the first setup, nice smiley, just getting the ball rolling. One thing I did do was make sure that any tins and things which I immediately thought looked wrong because they're back to front and it was just barcodes and stuff, try to get all the nice colourful graphics on the front facing the camera. It's always attention to details. The gentleman's wearing glasses, so I need to be aware of reflections, but because the flash was bounced off the ceiling, that really does help. 9 times out of 10, that gets rid of the chance of reflections, because the flash isn't firing directly at his glasses. So the first shot was basically, or first setup was them looking straight towards the camera. Just variation on the theme. So I did 1, 2, 3, 4 shots of that. Then went at a slight angle from there. So as I looked towards them, it was from their right, just to get a bit of extra shaping into the shelves going off into a in the background. It wasn't a vast, like, cavernous sort of room, so that would have been really good, and that definitely would have needed extra lighting. But it was just enough to throw a bit of variety in there, give them a few options. They're very busy, they've got deadlines to send the pictures off to, so I don't, yeah, I didn't need to mess around too much, but just a bit of variety. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so 6 shots like that, and there are a couple of times where he had his eyes shut or what have you, which does happen, which is why you shoot several, but I do know that I've got at least 2 good shots out of that, which is what I was after. As we went along, each sort of setup like this, I showed them the pictures that we'd just taken, and they were really happy. It was doing exactly what they wanted. One of the shots, so I should probably explain, the first shots were them stood there with these voucher, which I gather is so that they could be redeemed against foodstuffs and helping the homeless and what have you, that sort of thing. Obviously, them holding them. This is all quite twee. It's kind of very typical PR, sort of smiley facey, what we often call sort of shaky handy pictures, you know. It's all quite typical. But that's what they wanted, and I know that that's the, you know, that's the sort of, that, those are the sort of pictures that were called for here. So we did those, and then the shots with a little bit of extra angle here were them holding the vouchers again, but doing the obligatory shaking hand sort of thing. I don't hate those pictures, but I just, when I see them, I know it's a very standard shot. It's a nice shot. It's what people expect to see. That's the point. But it's a very kind of cliche, twee kind of... The people don't always feel comfortable doing those shots, but again, they feel they kind of have to do it. It's the kind of shot you expect. So that is okay, you know. Just looking at where the shadows are falling, they're not all over the background or the jars and things. Just falling down sort of below the shelves, as it were. So you can definitely see that there's shadow there, of course, but, you know, just really, really nice, quite flattering lighting. So we did a series of pictures like that. Then we did a couple sort of front-on, which was quite nice. I might straighten up these front-on ones a fraction if I need to. Just looking at it, they're really not that far off, and actually, who's to say that the shelves weren't completely straight anyway? They might have been a little bit warped or not put up exactly straight. So, you know, there's a bit of little bit of give there. A slight angle on another one with a shaky hand. There was a sign in the background, which is quite nice, which shows, you know, please be generous when you're giving out these food packets and all the rest of it. You know, that's quite a nice reference in there. So then the final shots we did, I came out a bit wider, and I'm just going to look at the EXIF data again. The EXIF data, as you, if you haven't gathered by now, those of you that are new to this, so the EXIF is, it's all, where are we? Here we go. Camera data, EXIF. It's all the settings that are recorded on the digital file that your camera records. So exposure mode, the focal length, as I've said, the date that the picture was taken, the aperture value, the metering mode, the white balance. I had it set to auto, as I invariably do. You know, right down to the serial number of the camera body, you know, and the lens and everything, of course. So this next shot was a bit wider. It's really nice, actually. We kind of had, if you imagine, you're looking at these two people, it's a lady and a gentleman, so they needed to have a shot of them sort of packing, like as if they're sort of like putting items on the shelf and what have you. So I've got them doing that, looking towards the camera to begin with. Really nice. The eye is led in from the left, from like how the lines kind of point down into the picture or the shelves. And then on the right hand side behind them, there's more shelves. There's all that colour. Really nice. Then I just said to Mike, just carry on as you are. I'm going to do some shots just as you do that. Then I moved around slightly to be more of an acute angle looking down the line of the shelves. But the trouble is there, they had this whiteboard at the far end behind them, and there was this really big highlight, and I'm not sure, I could probably recover some of that, but it's not ideal. They're nice and smiley. I'm just looking at other details. You've got some of the strip lights in there, which are not very nice at all, so I'll just crop down in that. There's enough detail, you know, recording power on the sensor of the D800 to mean that you can actually crop in. So looking at this, the file size of this particular picture is a shade under 42 megabytes. So it really is, it's a nice big file. And that is basically it, guys. I mean, there's really, I'd rather not just waffle on and on and on, because there's really not a lot to say. It was, you know, just trying sort of repetition of the same thing. And if I look at, here we go, let's see, where are we? Where's the time of, oops, this picture. Okay, so, the very first shot was taken at 1:10, and the very last shot was taken at 1:21. So, you know, it was sort of 10 minutes or so just chatting, getting set up and all the rest of it, and then just 10 minutes to do these shots, and that was it. Really, really, really quite simple. I mean, it's, you know, it's a busy day today. I had to go into town. Bear with me, just going to take a sip of tea. I had to go into town, do some business in there, and come back. This shoot actually should have been at 4:00 this afternoon, but for whatever reason, I don't know why, I got an email sort of, I think it was yesterday morning, saying could I switch the times, and would 1:00 do? And that was okay. Apart from editing and just generally getting on with things, the only thing I've got to do, oh, bear with me, I think I've got a pussycat just about to jump on my lap. You coming up in them? Hello. You might hear a bit of purring. Who knows? This one is Studio Cat. Oh, there you go. I don't know if you can pick that up. We have Office Cat and Studio Cat. I'm sure you're, if you're a long-standing listener, you will have heard me talk of them. You would have heard them appearing on audio. But yeah, so what was I saying? That's totally thrown me now. Yeah, so my activities today. I went into town, had a meeting, then I went and did this shoot at 1:00, and it was a middle of the day, actually, I was going to give myself a lunch break and have a training session, health and fitness session, as you know, I've been doing a lot of that. I'm back onto that again at the moment. So actually what's happened is I did the shoot earlier. I was able to reschedule my workout to be this afternoon, which means I've just got enough time to get these edited. And what I'm going to do is, let me think, if I'm clever, what I can do is get these prepared, or nearly totally prepared, to, I've got to send a disc out to the client. Now, it's, as I record this, it's a Friday, so I doubt they'll be in the office, so they'll be there for Monday morning. I'm also going to do my best to get the pictures sent out today for close of business today, so that he can, their director chap can actually share the link with various people. And it's very, you know, really nice, quick way to do it and make sure a lot of people get to see the pictures as quickly as possible. That really is basically it. I would say I did take another little pouch which had my Pocket Wizard remote triggers for flash guns if I had needed to set them up remotely, like I say, to light the background and the foreground and what have you. But, you know, I could have done that. Would have looked impressive, would have taken longer to set up as well. But there's no need. You know, if you can work with one light and keep it simple. Like I say, over the years, I've done so much of this kind of PR social photography where, you know, you can set up really simply, bounce the light around. You know, when I look at this picture, see if I can just open this one picture for you. bear with me. You can hear a pussycat in the meantime. He's quite happy. So I'm just zooming into the picture at 33 or 50%, let's say. And I can see that, you know, the people are nice and sharp, but there's just a drop off in focus just behind them. It's just enough to separate them from the people, from all the goods there. So minimal bit of tweaking to get it all ready. And that's it. That is going to be those pictures done, dusted before the weekend. That's where I like it. They already asked for me to invoice and get that all done. One thing I will just mention, it occurred to me this morning, and that my contact has not been well. So I've, she's not been in the office. So I always get a contract signed for all the shoots that I do. It protects the client, it protects me, and everyone knows where they stand. On this occasion, for whatever reason, she didn't return it in time. Now, you either turn around and say, look, didn't get the contract done, I'm not doing the work. Or, as I mentioned in a recent episode of the podcast, you think, hang on, this is a good client. We've been working together for a long time. I seem to be getting more and more work from them at the moment again. I trust them. I know they're not going to try and rip me off. They're not going to try and pull a fast one or anything like that. So I just didn't mention it. I certainly wasn't going to mention it in front of their director. I will follow up and say, right, you know, would you please mind, you know, once she's back in the office, would you mind just completing the paperwork just so we can bring the file up to date? That's great. It is a trust thing. I have no doubts that, you know, it's all going to be fine. But, you know, just use your common sense. If you can see that people are getting annoyed when you're taking their pictures, which hopefully they would never do, but some people are very impatient, just, you know, make light of the situation. I'm not saying tell jokes, but just try and keep it all good humoured, work through it quickly, get them involved, show them the pictures, and say about getting the pictures to them nice and quickly, and just realise that they just want to be on their way. They want to go and get on with their day. When it comes to the paperwork, keep that to yourself, speak to your contact, don't start talking to their director saying, oh, well, of course, you know, you're lucky I'm here because such and such didn't do the paperwork and blah, blah, blah. That's not going to win you favours. It's certainly not going to win you any further work if if the director gets wind of it and he's going to start, you know, thinking, hang on, this guy's a troublemaker. Like I say, just common sense, know your camera, know your lighting, know how to work a situation. Like I said, I don't particularly like the shaky hand pictures, but I know that that is a picture which was required. Certainly when it's going into local press, that's the sort of thing that local press really love, you know, and it's what people expect. Anyway, there you go, enough waffle. I need to crack on with this, finish my tea, and then before you know it, it'll be time for me to have a workout, which I'm really looking forward to. So, yeah, I hope that's been a bit of a whirlwind, but I hope that's been useful to you. Of course, let me know if you've got any questions about cameras, lenses, lighting, settings, all that sort of thing, or corporate photography, anything like that. But for now, I will leave it there. Like I say, not a glamorous and certainly not an exciting one, but this was a nice little money earner which I was able to fit into my working week. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.